Well, we want to welcome you again to Preemption Broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar, and I want to just say thanks for listening. So many of you have become friends writing in, and some of you will get this direct as a podcast over the web. Some of you will get it on a CD. To our friends in Scotland and England, to the ones in Canada, in Argentina, and even in Saudi Arabia. Scotland, a new friend of ours up there. Exciting things because I'm flying out here this week to visit my folks down in Nashville, and I will be meeting family members from my mother's side that go all the way back to the Highlanders of Scotland. So I'm going to find out about some of my relatives that go back to Scotland into the Highlands, and it's going to be an exciting time. So we're going to be doing some prayer, and I'm going to be looking for opportunities to witness and share down there, even over the weekend as I go to see my folks and my mama. And so, hey, I was thinking about this today's lesson. It is on the five A's of spiritual warfare, but we're going to focus on the armor of God. A couple of the reasons for that is people have asked before, does the armor of God, what does it really mean? I tell you what, I've been doing seminars in different churches and stuff, and I always ask the question, how many here know your authority in Christ by the raising of hands? Or how many here have led a person to Christ? Or how many here know that you have the armor of God on? And the sad thing is that maybe a third or less raise their hands. To me, that tells me again that the majority of the body of Christ does not have down just the foundational issues. We should know about the armor of God within the first 6 months of being a believer and know what it is to have the armor of God on the rest of our lives. We could save ourselves from so much trouble. We can bear so much more fruit if we really understood what God wants us to concerning being aware of the enemy's schemes, being alert, knowing the authority, delving into action, that is obedience, but also having on and leaving on the armor of God. And thinking about this, I was thinking about some of you truckers that have written in, and I appreciate all the truck drivers that have checked into the website, listened to the podcast, and the interviews. We have a lot of friends out there that have done interviews, and we appreciate them. But you truck drivers, I was thinking about you as I was preparing for this. And because we're taking on more and more of a prayer strategy, and we really believe that God can providentially move in such great ways, such absolutely great ways. I want you to know that we are just excited about this concept. Maybe there's a trucker out there, a believer, that will take this up. Maybe those can go. Some of you can go to Transport for Christ and other, you know, ministries within those who are truckers. I have a great friend, used to live in my home years ago, went to a great Bible school in Chicago, and he's out there driving a truck, calls me from time to time, and hope that he will call me again sometime soon. I stayed with him up in Michigan years ago and did a spiritual warfare teaching at his church there in the city of Detroit. And each night when we were going to bed, somewhere around 12, 1 or 2, I continued to hear gunshots. And I asked him in the morning, I said to my friend, I said, don't the police come? I didn't hear any sirens. I said, I heard a 9mm go off last night. And he says, no, they don't really come unless somebody gets hit. Oh, man. Tough area up there, but we taught some principles. And back then, I think we also did the five A's of spiritual warfare. And today, we're going to do it. For the truck drivers out there, you know what I think is a tremendous thing? That if truck drivers, even, listen, you can take it on by yourself, but join with others. Begin to map out a strategy. You guys are crisscrossing the United States. You're flying through Ohio, Pennsylvania, all these places constantly. And you're listening to things, you're doing things, but what we've learned in Shatter, in our organization, when we do a REAP trip, we have two or three or four guys in the car, sometimes five, and as we're traveling to a city, we've been to about 30-some cities in Ohio area, a number of those in PA, we'll do our prayer mapping in the car on the way. Instead of just talking about other things, I mean, we do that in the beginning, but you know what we do? We begin to just go through the entire prayer map and begin to pray over the areas and pouring out prayer and feel the power of God as we pray. Wouldn't it be an exciting thing for truckers out there as you're crisscrossing the United States to be pouring out prayer for spiritual awakening, pouring out prayer for revival, pouring out prayer for the salvation of souls and lives, praying against Satan, praying against the demonic presence and things that you see, the darkness that's ramping up. Listen, it's ramping up all over, and I think that really truck drivers out there, this is a special note for you. It wasn't planned, but I think the Lord wants you to know that you have a powerful place in intercession, in witness, in having your eyes open. If you're alert and if you're aware of the enemy's schemes, if you're really kind of a watchman like in the book of Ezekiel, you could be out there, you know, because you see so much. Man, be out there as a spiritual point man. Be out there as a spiritual point man. Pour out your prayers. Begin to pray about a strategy as you're going from point to point and praying. Begin to pray for those loaders and unloaders and all the different people you're interacting with. What a powerful ministry you can have. I remember Samuel Kamalasan. He was the great evangelist in India. He came here to the United States at Malone College and spoke. An incredibly powerful man. Reminded me of John Wesley. Just being around him, you can feel the power of God all over him. And I talked to him for a while, and I listened to a story he told about a trucking company in India where they were having some trouble, and one of the guys that had gotten saved decided that on this trucking route where the trucks came out and came in, he decided to hitchhike. On the one side of the road, he would hitchhike. A trucker would pick him up because they liked to talk. And the man would begin to witness and share Christ and lead that man to Christ and begin to disciple him. And then when he got out, he'd go to the other side of the street and hitchhike on the way back, and another trucker would pick him up. And then he would go back and share Christ and lead that trucker to Christ. He did this for some time to where he led many of those truckers to Christ from that company. What a tremendous ministry. That reminds me of, again, Philip in Acts chapter 8 and the powerful ministry. And that guy would have had to have the armor of God on, being in India with all the hundreds of thousands of gods and goddesses, the spiritual warfare aspects there. But again, greater is the one who lives in us than the one who lives in the world. 1 John chapter 4, read about it. The Spirit of God inside of you, powerful. And so I want to encourage you today that you can make great impact like that one individual. The trucking company went under great distress and trouble. The Christian truckers got together, went to the boss to say, to give their plan on how to save the company. And they sacrificed, they saved the company. And it was just a tremendous witness, let alone the individuals that got saved and initiated Christian fellowship among the truckers. So you truckers out there, and those of you who are family members of truckers praying for them, you can have a tremendous part. And if you would trust that God has given you a calling as you crisscross and prayer map and pour out intercession, and go to our website, shatterthedarkness.net or shatterthedarkness.net/preemption, and you can look under there for numerous podcasts and teachings on the area of prayer, and even write to me, and I'll send you through email anyway the prayer mapping pages that we use. And you can report back to us. I'd like to find a point man out there that's a trucker that can constantly report back, and we can interact, and I can give you as much teaching and training. And you can report back and let us know what it's like on the road, and prayer requests and things like that. So anyway, I'm just sharing that with you. Even pilots in the air can be doing that. And you could be praying across America, stewardesses and so forth. You could be praying across America. Use your time, because listen, when you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're all done, you are so, at least I know I am, and the guys that I pray with are, we're just pumped up in the presence of the Lord, ready to witness, ready to do this stuff. But listen, that comes from not only knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, but knowing what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know about Him, about His Word, about His Spirit, about His mission, and about His will for our lives. So let me begin right now as I begin on the five A's. This is very important for us because this is a day in which the ramping up of evil is going on. I'm living in the context of the last few days where a man went in, a father who loved his children and his wife, and he just went, you know, he just went off, and he went out to that Amish schoolhouse, and he shot 10 kids and killed 5 of them and killed himself, and just bizarre things are occurring. America, you know that. Let's wake up. Let's wake up in the name of Jesus Christ and know that we're supposed to be the light, and we're supposed to be the influence in our culture instead of allowing this dying culture to enculturate us and suppress who we are in Christ. God has a great mission. Let's be a part of it. Jesus Christ is alive. And do I hear an amen out there? You can say it out loud. That's okay. Maybe there's nobody around. At time to time, you can even shut the CD off and take some time to pray. Take some time to praise God and really be involved as a believer. Putting truth into practice is where you're going to find the fruit, the power, the blessing, the experiential side of all that you know and read about in Scripture. Well, I'm going to talk to you about today five of the A's: awareness, alert, armor, authority, and action. And now I'm going to only touch on four of them, and the primary one is the armor of God that I'm going to dwell on. So when you look through this, please realize that's what I'm doing today, because I really felt a need to just really, because again, if I was to ask you, do you know what the armor of God is, and do you have it on, more importantly? Some people know what it is, not have it on. And that would be of no use. James chapter 1 tells us that if we look at the Word of God and don't put it into practice, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're like a man that looks into a mirror, walks away, and we forget what we look like. So unless you put the Word of God into practice and find it powerfully at work in your life, you're going to forget about it. The enemy's going to steal it from you, and you will not have the blessing and the fruit and the strength that comes from knowing and putting into practice the Word of God. 1 John chapter 2 tells us about younger believers. God speaks to them and says, and to you and I, and says, I write to you because you are strong, and you've overcome the evil one. Now, if you read it in 1 John chapter 2, it's because, this is what it says, because the Word of God, the Logos of God, lives in you. Minnow is the word there, meaning that it's found its home in you by practicing it, by obeying it. You've welcomed the Word of God, and you've put it into practice in such a way that it has made you strong. You know, you've been made strong. You've been made strong, and you've overcome, from the Greek word Nike, you have a decisive victory over the enemy's strategies to destroy you as a believer and to keep you from being the kind of powerful believer that God desires and designed to create in Christ Jesus. You've been destined for being conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8. And so you can walk powerfully and strong. Don't live in recovery for the rest of your life. Move from recovery to dynamic discipleship and into being equipped and to growing in the Lord. I was sharing this with the course that we're teaching on Sunday nights and teaching over the web, Confronting the Powers through the Great Commission. And I mentioned there that we have a number of local believers, and I was telling them all that, you know, by the first year that we're a believer, if we're discipled right, we should not only know the Lord Jesus well, how to get into the Word of God, reading the Gospels, understanding the Book of God, and really getting into it. We should understand what prayer is all about, worship's all about, baptism, giving, being in church, fellowship. We should be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit and be witnessing and sharing Christ, a part of the Great Commission. We should understand being aware of the enemy and alert and the armor of God, the authority of the Lord. We should already by that time know our spiritual giftings and workings within the first year. See, for some, it's taking them by the time 20 years into Christ, they're eventually getting around to some of this. That means that for 20 years, you have not been as strong, powerful, you have not been able to experience the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the kingdom of God as you should, and you clearly have not been able to bear the kind of fruit that you need to be able to do. And God's called us to that. John chapter 15. Jesus said, you've been chosen to bear fruit, and that's what we've been chosen in Christ. We're told about this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, that not only have we been saved by grace, not by works, but we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me say it again, which God prepared in advance. Before you ever got saved, God already designed the power, the structure, the life, the experience, and the works that you would be doing as a believer. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what you and I are all about, to joyfully have the privilege of knowing God personally, embracing Him, having the joy of the Lord in our lives, but then participating in the work of reconciliation in the kingdom of God in the context of spiritual warfare. Jesus said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Well, the word prevail has the idea that it will not withstand the onslaught of the Christian church. And so the church is the it has been released and put out into the world as not only the vehicle of grace to take the awesome message of Jesus to every single human being, to the highways and byways, but also it is a weapon of warfare. Why else would he give us the authority? Why else would he tell us that we should be alert, that we should learn the principle of awareness of satanic presence, that we should understand all of these? Well, anyway, let's go on to this. Maybe you got your pen and pencil, a Bible before you, and or you can listen to this again and again. Send it off to some friends that might need it some places. And I cannot even tell you the exciting news that I'm finding from numerous parts of the world, five, six other countries, let alone across the United States, of individuals getting involved and wanting more and more and more. So keep us in your prayers, believers, because you can be sure there are those out there that are connected to the enemy that are doing their curses and doing their spiritual warfare against us. Hey, we'll have some podcasts about that coming up too. The five A's, I'm going to mention them again: awareness, being alert, armor of God, the authority, and action. Let me just begin with the authority, awareness. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, the Apostle Paul clearly understood this. He was out at one point destroying the church, and he had a tremendous encounter where Jesus was there and brought him down to his knees. He turned to Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. Read about it in Acts chapter 9. But later on, as he's out sharing Christ and going from city to city, place to place, to every human being, in obedience to the Great Commission to the King of Heaven, he knows that he has many encounters. Satan wants to stop the spreading the gospel. It's clear. Well, here's an experiential statement from the Apostle Paul as the Holy Spirit records it and gives it to us for our own learning and teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Here's what it says. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Let's break it down. He gives some principles and teachings and so forth about their walk in the Lord, and the end of that is that with the result that that Satan might not outwit us. He'd love to outwit you in every possible way. He outwits you by not letting you know the Word of God, by sending those arrows of doubt, by sending people to distract you, distractions, everything else. Well, this is his strategy. I mean, this is what happened to Peter and the disciples in the beginning when Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail." Now listen, Satan had a strategy. He wanted to outwit those early disciples. I can guarantee you right now that if you sit back and think in terms of your Christian life and begin to say, "Lord, how is it that Satan has outwit me times when I've been defeated, when I've been oppressed and depressed and bearing no fruit?" He would love to outwit you and tell you, "Hey, it's too fearful to witness for Christ. You'll never be able to share any Christ to anybody. You won't be able to lead anybody to the Lord because you'll mess up and it's just too big of a fearful thing. You're going to get rejected." You know, all that junk. You know, that spirit of fear. Fear is a snare. The fear of man is a snare, the Bible says in Proverbs. And so Satan is going to try to outwit you in every area, outwit you concerning prayer, the Word, your time with God, discipline, walking with the Lord, joy in the Lord, and everything else. Now, this is why the Holy Spirit is bringing through the Apostle Paul these words, in order that Satan might not outwit us. You know what it tells me? God doesn't want you to be outwitted. He doesn't want the wool pulled over your eyes. He doesn't want you to be distracted and taken down, you know, off the road that you've been walking with the Lord Jesus. And he's outwitted you through people. He's outwitted you through the lust of the flesh. He's outwitted you through the fallen world around you and taken you away. He's outwitted you through people's lies or his lies direct. Don't let the enemy outwit you. Pull the wool over your eyes. Deceive you. Distract you. Notice what the Apostle Paul says experientially. For we, not just him, When he says we, he's including his team. It's broader in the sense, and I want to say this, that every single Christian should be able to say this. Listen, I really believe this. After 6 months, 8 months of being a Christian, and especially after 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, we should all be able to say, for we are not unaware of Satan's schemes. It's the Greek word where we get methods, methodology, his intricate patterns and plans and his system of working. Listen again what it says. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Don't be unaware of his scheme, the scheme that he had over Job's life. To hit Job up from behind, to tear everything away from Job, to steal his money, to plunder him, to hurt him in every possible way, to bring disease to his body. Satan had one goal alone. One goal was for this man of God to eventually curse God and die. Satan wanted his, he wanted to steal his witness, he wanted to steal his walk, he wanted to steal everything. He wanted to steal God right out of his heart and mouth. Christian, that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to hit us up to we feel like we're such victims that we begin to take the little arrows that come in. Oh man, God's not here. God's not helping us. Why has God let me go through this? All that jargon, all those questionings and so forth, to where we can begin to get. You know what? When you find yourself angry at God, you can be sure that Satan's lurking around using this scheme, hitting you up behind the scenes so that you do not know that it is him, with the goal that he can get you mad at God, cursing God, and giving up and whatever else. It's time to repent, man. Time to repent and come back. Didn't you understand that? That's part of the schemes that he has. To steal the word of God. To keep you from going to church and being a part of worship and prayer and fellowship and everything else. Part of the schemes is to get you alone. Part of the schemes is to keep you from your Bible time and keep you distracted with stupid television. Listen, that's part of the schemes. So, in the broader sense, the biblical picture shows us that his schemes are counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles in the world around us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. His schemes to the world to blind the minds of unbelievers so they cannot believe. To steal the word of God from them so they cannot believe. And you can be sure that he's going to try. So understand, from the word of God, you will see that God reveals his schemes. Whether it's in Job's life, in the life of David, when Satan rose up against Israel and enticed David to sin to bring trouble to Israel. Or his schemes of using other people that are not believers, or piggybacking them to get to you and bring you down, or to use an event or even a sickness against you. So understand and be able to say, we're not unaware, not ignorant of the schemes of Satan. Study the scripture. Watch and see that his schemes. Look into your life and see how those schemes have been used against you, or how you're seeing those schemes being used against your family or pastor or church members or friends. And God says that he doesn't want us to be outwitted. And so awareness is absolutely vital. Be aware of what's going on around you, aware of how Satan's trying to slip in and move you to the left or the right, discourage you and whatever else. And if you're discovering that right now, you know, you can even stop this and say, Lord, I'm going to turn this off, and right now I'm going to repent of areas where I've allowed the enemy to steal from me, to, you know, take from me, and to lead me into weakness. And I'm going to surrender back to Jesus and repent of every sin, close every door, and stand up and put on the armor of God and be a witness for Christ. Listen, awareness, a spirit-filled, obedient believer is going to be very aware of the enemy's schemes, very aware of what's going on around them. Walking into a house, walking into a room, driving your truck into another city, coming into some area. You know, you're going to be aware of Satan's schemes, of his, and even of his presence and when he tries to do things. So be aware of the schemes of Satan. You're supposed to. Ignorance of the knowledge of who Satan is in a biblical sense is absolute stupidity. It is like saying, you know, it's like trying to fight a war, sending United States soldiers and not wanting to know any of the strategy of the enemy, wanting to know nothing that's going out on the battlefield, and just going into everything blind and saying, well, I don't want to know if there's any snipers out there. I just want to run across the road. And they'll get shot every time. The reason the Word of God reveals the enemy's nature, names, tactics, schemes, is to show us how he operates. And so this is vital In your walk and in your having the armor of God on, and of you dispensing and unleashing the grace of God, and also being a weapon of spiritual warfare against demonic presence and against the devil's works and schemes around us. So be aware, dear believer, be aware right now of what's been going on. Holy Spirit, may you give us awareness of what's been occurring. And if you're going to have an awareness, you're going to need an awareness down the road here because of the levels of occult warfare. Now, I'll talk about that on a separate podcast where folks have learned how to do satanic rituals and so forth. It's a broad thing right now, where they can conjure and do warfare. How can you discern, tell that warfare coming in against you? Well, we're going to talk about if you're growing in your awareness of Satan's schemes, and you're strong in the Lord, you're going to be able to put things down, be aware, warn people, be strong. You know, in 1 John 3:8 says this: the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. We're to be witnesses of Christ and minister to human beings, but we're also to be a weapon of warfare against the satanic powers. Why else would Jesus say, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, will not prevail, will not withstand, will not be able to withhold, hold us back"? Because we've been birthed into a spiritual war, because there is conflict, there is powers, rulers, authorities, principalities, so forth, that are against you. So don't be unaware. And let me go to the second one right now. This is the area of alert. Man, if I had one of those, you ever hear one of those big horns that go off at a football game? I mean, just as loud as can be. Or where I live, they have a siren that when a tornado is approaching or something, that siren for the whole area is supposed to be able to hear that, take cover, get down to the basements. That's an alert, or you'll see it come across the television, on the radio. There may be that loud buzzing noise, and it's that we're to be alerted of something going on. And so let me ask you a question: whether you're alert. When you're a driver in a car or truck, you've got to be alert going down the road, watching that you stay on the right side of the road and so forth. You've got to be alert. You cannot fall asleep at the wheel. You're going to crash and burn if you do. We know that. So spiritually, we're to be alert also. This idea of completely having your spiritual antennas up so that you can listen to the Lord, fellowship with Him, but also be alert to what, you know, Satan will be doing against you and against the body of Christ and the way he's operating in the world now. Through the New Age movement and every counterfeit spirituality, the Ascended Masters, they're all coming in. We're going to be in the days of the greatest manifestation of demonic presence. We're in those. We have more demonic manifestation in the world, the United States and other places, than we have had basically in all of history. I mean, we can go back to Egypt and other places where we see concentration. But the biblical prophecy is that the world, the rise of Babylon, Revelation 18, the home of every spirit and evil presence and unclean, we're going to find tremendous manifestation. United States, there's going to be hundreds of thousands that need deliverance from demonic presence and deception. So be alert, Christian, especially in this day. 1 Peter, we read about it in chapter 5. Let me read it. God simply says, be self-controlled and alert. Be self-controlled and alert. That is in your mind and in your emotions. The idea that freedom in Christ means that we're in control of our emotions and our mind. We're not letting everything just jumble. We're not letting scenarios and imaginations take over our mind and our thinking, which will eventually affect our emotions, and our emotions will be whacked out all over the place. It's hard for someone to say they're going to live strong in the Lord and have the peace of God when your mind is filled with worries, your emotion is filled with oppression from those worries. Now listen, God is telling us, be self-controlled. You know, listen, stand up, take control of the situation. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians. Read about the fruit of the Spirit. You know what it is? Love, joy, peace, patience, all the way down to self-control. You have a new nature, powerful nature inside of you, dynamic nature in Christ, and you're able now to be free from the outside external controls of the world and even of Satan. The book of Timothy talks about how Satan has taken some captive to do his will. Listen, as a Christian, you should not be captive to sin, Satan, or the fallen world system around. Not to mental scenarios that scare you, to worries and fears. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Listen, if you don't understand from this scripture right here, one single verse, Christian, that Satan is out prowling around. Now, see, some Christians right away say, ooh, that scares me. Oh, I don't. That's why I don't want to mess with this stuff. I don't want to. Listen, don't be ignorant and, God wants you to know the Word of God so that you can be strong. You cannot just say, well, I'm not going to look at it, therefore I won't be affected. You'll be affected more so than those who are walking strong and know. The better you know the Word of God and as it reveals your walk, your problem is the flesh, the world, Satan directly in his work. And God gives us victory in every 3 points, all of them. 1 John tells us that again and again. Victory over the flesh, victory over the world, victory over Satan. And that's why we need to know the Word of God. So God commands you. God commands me. Be self-controlled. Don't let the outside influences control you. Listen, let the peace of God rule in your heart. We're going to see that in a few moments. That's what's to rule in our lives. The peace, the presence, the power, and the Word of God. Making you strong. Making you go from strength to strength. Glory to glory. Listen, an alert. An alert. Spiritually alert for you, for your family, in your church. Can you walk into church on Sunday and, you know, be prayed up ahead of time? Listen, don't go to church, you know, at the last minute getting there like some sleepy, you know, clog. Get up and get into prayer and pray for the church and be prepared and ask the Lord, how will you use me today? Be already prepared for worship and prayer and ministering and going there. Who can I minister today and encourage the brothers and sisters and worship and pray and be alert? And if you sense anything of the enemy, to pray with authority against that. Listen, that's part of being self-controlled and alert. Because why? Your enemy, the devil, he's for real. He's prowling around like he did with Job, like he did with Peter and the early disciples in the Gospels, like he did in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira in the early church. He's prowling around. He's a predator. He's a serial murderer, rapist in the spiritual sense. He'd love to murder your spiritual life, rape your spiritual life. Please understand that. That is his job because that is his insane nature. And he wants to find somebody like a roaring lion, you know, just wanting to scare you. If you're afraid of the devil, he has half of you already. If you're already afraid, then he has half of you already. He's got half the battle won. You cannot have the faith lifted up all the way and fear lifted up all the way at the same time. Either faith and the boldness that comes in Christ and the fearlessness. God commands us again and again all through Scripture. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Be self-controlled and alert means grow in fearlessness. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, he's prowling around. He's looking how he might scare you, you know, roar like a lion. He's not the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is. Man, I tell you what, when the lion of the tribe of Judah roars, he will set the enemy back. If you've watched the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis, the Chronicles of Narnia on video or whatever, or DVD, and you've seen the time when the wicked witch that represents the Satan, the satanic kingdom, you know, is coming up against Aslan, and he's representing the, you know, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's representing the king of heaven, Jesus. And Jesus just at one point just begins, he just kind of roars a little bit and sets the enemy back. You know what the Bible says about demons? They tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. They tremble. And so you need to know your authority and the awesome king of heaven and what he did at the cross. So he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. Your kids, your family, your neighborhood, your church, your school, all those folks in the psych ward in prison, all those bikers down the street, fellow truckers out there. He wants to devour the political system and you people and leaders that are in the politics. He wants to devour military and take it over. Do you understand? Don't be unaware and also be alert to his workings in the immediate grounds around you. Many times as you're praying through, you know, and you're praying, Lord, what is the enemy doing? And if he gives you insight that he's trying to devour a friend, well, man, that's when you could unleash the authority of Christ, pray against him, and come with the authority to trample on the demonic presence, on the demonic agenda, on the demonic working, on the demonic assignments. When you find out that there's people sending, you know, Satanists or whoever, sending stuff against you, then you can fight back. They love to work in secrecy. You're a worker in the light of Christ, and you can pray with power and authority, stand your ground. The Bible says right after that verse that you're then to resist him. Listen, that's what it says also in James chapter 4. Submit to God, resist the devil. That resist is not some wimpy little thing, man. That is standing up and staking your ground. And I mean every part of your body, soul, and spirit. You're standing up. You're to resist his lies, his fear, his attacks, his workings, his whittling you down, his trying to crush you. You are supposed to resist that, Christian. So be aware of his schemes. Be alert of immediate attacks around you, because they will come. They will come. And as you're alert concerning those, you can immediately unleash your prayer and do the stuff and, again, find that you manifest and unleash, in a sense, the presence of the kingdom of God and the authority of the Lord. That's what that authority is for. That's what the power of God is all about when we read about it in Luke chapter 10. And by the way, I'm going to bypass this area on the armor of God right now, because I'm going to spend most of my time on that particular subject. Let me just go to the authority in Luke chapter 10, verses 7. Read the whole chapter in context where Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. And he has 72 workers right there. And he's going to send them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom and the rule and reign of God. And he's going to send them to pray for the healing of sick people and to drive out demonic presence and to set people free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, he says this in Luke 10, I have given you, this is in the perfect tense in the Greek, meaning that it's an abiding, you've received it at the moment of salvation in the past, but it's an abiding presence. You appropriate by saying, Lord, I reckon the fact that you have given me your authority. And according to that verse right there in Luke chapter 10, where you say, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. That's just simply figures of speech concerning demonic presence. To trample them, Christian. The authority is given so that you can trample the dark side. Not that the dark side tramples the weak, ignorant, anemic believer and makes you a victim the rest of your life. It's the other way around. If you're really a believer walking in obedience to Jesus Christ, he says, I give you authority. Most Christians don't even know this. Many pastors that I know don't even know the authority in Christ. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is sickening, because you should know the authority of the Lord, and that will embolden you. And that to fight against the enemy, to pray against demons, to pray against attacks, to pray against what you're aware of and what you're alerted to. So you have the authority of Jesus Christ. To exercise that authority, there's only one way to do that, through oral speech. It's just outwardly praying. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. If you sense some attack coming in, I pray against that and command that to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. If you recognize a demon that is on somebody, oppressing them, and you go to pray for them, you command it to leave and not come back, you just order them. Look what it says in Luke chapter 10. The disciples came back and they were amazed that the demon spirits, they submitted to them as they ordered them what to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. There's that word again, Nike. To have a decisive victory. Did you hear that? Jesus won the victory. Now he gives us his authority so that we can continue to enforce that victory in the world around us, so that you can overcome how much of the power of the enemy? Well, let me tell you right there, Jesus acknowledges that Satan has power. Liberal theologians need to repent. cessationists may need to repent over the fact, those who say, man, if you don't talk about the devil, you won't glorify the devil, and the devil will go away. That is a lie. That is not biblical. That is not biblical theology. It should be ripped out of any book ever been written. That is just stupidity. That would be Satan's teaching, to tell Christians, don't think about him, don't worry about him, whatever else, he'll never bother you. I just read to you in 1 Peter where the Holy Spirit of God says he is prowling around. He's looking for someone to devour. He did that with Peter and the disciples. He did it with David in the Old Testament. He did it with Job. He did it with Ananias and Sapphira in the early church. Look at the seven churches of Revelation in the book of Revelation. You're going to see how Satan is attacking them through the Nicolaitans, through a Jezebel occultism getting into the church, where his presence, where he has his throne. The church is having to battle in the midst of everything. Man, we need to wake up so that we can walk. Maybe we've been just really inundated with just Satan causing such a stupor, spiritual sleeping over us as believers. Jesus, I have given you authority, perfect tense, meaning I have given it to you in the past with the abiding result that it is right now present in your life. I walk around with the authority of Christ. I'm anointed. I have the authority of Christ. I have the armor on. I'm aware. I'm alert. And I'm going to step out into action. That's what every believer should say. Every disciple of Jesus Christ. Take up the cross, Christian. Get out of that lazy spirit. Get out of that victimization. Get out of that recovery and move on. Dynamic discipleship. Take up the cross. You know, surrender to Jesus Christ. Be submissive to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will run. Greek word for flee, you know what it means? An army running in disarray after being defeated, you know, running and retreating. Satan will retreat from you if you do the right things. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Do you realize this? Not only is Jesus over you to protect you, and he promises that. We read Psalm 91, awesome. You know, we read 1 John chapter 5, Jesus is going to protect us. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that the Lord is faithful, that he will strengthen you and protect you from who? From the evil one. Have you read that scripture? Do you know that verse? Listen, I challenge you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and find that verse and memorize that verse, rejoice in that verse, but also go to Luke chapter 10 and memorize the fact, memorize that verse. Jesus said it to you, believer. I have given you authority. You have it, whether you've used it or not. Don't let the devil steal the word of God from you. Right now, say this: Lord Jesus, I appropriate, I accept the fact that not only do you live in me, but you give me your authority, and I take that authority right now. And I'm supposed to use that in trampling the enemy. I'm supposed to use that in overcoming all the power of the enemy. And you said right there in that verse, nothing will harm me. Quit living in fear. Stop it. Take hold of Jesus Christ. Stand up. Be bold. Take on the authority of Christ. Well, the fourth one I want to touch on is this, the action. Coming out of the book of James, primarily, chapter 1. Again, anybody who's going to obey the word or put the word of God into practice is going to be blessed in what they do. You can read about this also in Philippians chapter 4, I think it's verse 9. You can take a look for yourself in the context. And it says this, Paul saying to the rest of the believers, whatever you've seen in me, you know, received from me, heard from me, you know, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Listen, this is powerful because if you do not take and appropriate the word of God in faith and then put it into practice, you're not going to experience its power. Listen, this is a principle. We receive everything by faith. We manifest everything through obedience. Obedience is stepping out in faith. It's faith in action. That's what it is. When you've been called by God to repent and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard the word of God. The Bible teaches very clearly that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word of God, you're empowered to believe and called to believe, and God summons you to believe. And so in believing in Jesus Christ, you didn't do any works. Matter of fact, you've acknowledged in faith that there are no works you can do for righteousness. You've accepted the work of Christ as your substitute, as your righteousness, and you've accepted his forgiveness and eternal life and his gift of his Spirit. And you know what? You've received all of that, and you did that, and so faith was in action. You took hold. You believed. Faith is always an active thing, never a passive thing. You take hold of it. And so listen, you receive by faith, you manifest and experience by obedience. Christian is faith in action. Now, let me take the rest of the time that I have with you, probably about 12, 15 minutes, and share with you concerning the armor of God. Now, let me wrap up real quick. We're told that we should not be unaware of Satan's schemes, his methods and workings. From the Word of God, you will know that walking with the Lord over time, you will see that he does the same thing again and again and again and again. Like with Eve in the Old Testament, how he came to first create doubt, tell her that God is lying, to dislodge the Word of God that God gave to them as a safety point, and then move them to accept his words and bring a crash and a burn to their lives and to the lives of the human race. Now, you're going to see the same principle thousands of years later in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Go read it, where the same principle the Apostle Paul is writing, the Spirit of God is leading him, and he's saying that I'm afraid that somehow that the tempter, through his cunning, Satan, has led your minds astray from your pure and sincere devotion to Christ. Go read that in 2 Corinthians verse 11. And you're going to read that just like Eve, he says in that verse, just like Eve was deceived. So he uses the same principle. You know, 4,000, 5,000 years later, Satan is working in the same way, the same method. So don't be unaware. Be aware through the Word of God, knowledge, and your experience. You're going to see him work the same way. Second, be immediately alert of everything around you now. And just walk in alertness. And you're going to see how this is associated with the armor of God in readiness. Because your enemy is prowling around. Don't let him beat you up. Beat up on him by resisting, by submitting to God, resisting him, and by growing in the Word and overcoming him by the Word of God living in you, by using the authority of rebuke Satan. When you feel oppression from Satan coming in, rebuke that. Pray for the Spirit of God to give you insight and rebuke that and command against it and put it down and resist it, and it will flee from you. It will go away. And step out into action in every way simply as this. Believe God at every turn. Be in obedience to the Lord. And you receive it all by faith. You manifest it literally and experientially through obedience to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Now, let's touch on the armor of God. And here's where I want to just really take the majority of this teaching and give you this on the authority of the Lord. Now, we read about this in Ephesians chapter 6, where starting in verse 10, right after the Word of God teaches us about how to be, loving your wife and wives with husbands and children and fathers. So right after the family teaching and those in employment and so forth and bosses, then we come down to verse 10. God says, finally, you know, at the end of all the discussion I've already given you, finally now, be strong in the Lord. Experientially, spiritually, be strengthened up and stand strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Now, go memorize Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? God is commanding. Have I not commanded you? You know, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's true. That's true. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. His mighty power. This expressive, manifested power of God. You know what? If you're more aware of Satan manifesting around you and you're kind of curled inwardly, curling up like a little ball on the inside, then Satan is manifesting his presence more so than you're allowing God as a believer to manifest this mighty power of God. As a believer, you should be able to walk into a room, walk anywhere, live, get up and go, wherever you're going. You should be strong in the Lord and in the expressed, manifesting, mighty dunamis, this power of God. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Dunamis. It is expressed, manifested, felt. It is the literal power of God. It is God emanating through you. And that's what God wants to happen in your life. He wants you to be strong in the Lord and for the mighty power of God to manifest in for your joy and blessing, but also through you against the demonic realm, but also that mighty power expressing it through you in evangelism and sharing Christ and living your life as a believer. Listen, if you're going to walk in this way, you're going to notice at work and other places, people are going to notice there is a spiritual presence and power about you. I've walked into raves, to psychic fairs, to places like that. And you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that the enemy, you know, has individuals that really know the demons. And they are aware. Listen, if you are walking in the presence and the power of the mighty power of God in your life, you know what? They will be aware of you. Something is cracked into their to their area, and this mighty power is a blessing. I mean, listen, we're the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. That's all about, you know, what's coming through your life as a believer in Christ. But listen, now we're dealing with the conflict with satanic powers. How can you be strong in the Lord and manifest in and through your life this mighty expressed mountain level power of God, real spiritual supernatural power flowing through your life? How can you do that? Well, verse 11 tells you very carefully. Verse 11 says this, and listen, this is in the imperative. It's commanded by God. It means this. You're commanded to put it on, so put it on. God's just simply telling you this. It's not an interpretation. God says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's what? The devil's schemes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Now in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God. Commanded. Put it on. Leave it on. No reason to put it on every day unless you've taken it off. No reason to put it on every day unless you've taken it off. Put it on, you know, and keep it on the rest of your life, especially if you're in times of spiritual warfare, especially if you're in the context of evangelism and you feel things coming against you. Know that you have this armor on. So the Holy Spirit says to you and to me, believer, put on the full, not partial. No soldier would only put a helmet only. You know, put the vest on, put all of it. No Roman soldier, no Greek soldier is going to just put on a helmet. They would not be that stupid in battle. They're going to put all of it on. Now, this is not symbolic in the sense that as you put these aspects on, we're talking about real spiritual, you know, appropriation and that allows the mighty expressed power of God to flow through and literally emanate through your life in these areas. It is not referring to some super spirit. One guy came to me one time and says, you know what? I've got the sword of the Spirit. And I went out into the Spirit. I went clear to Israel. And I fought Leviathan and the dragon. And I stabbed him. And I sent him to the bottom of the sea. Did that really happen? No, that did not happen. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So it's not saying that all of a sudden we're glowing with a fake shield, you know, some kind of, and we're going out into the spirit realm and things like that. That's not. It's talking about walking, you know, here in our lives with each one of these pieces representing a piece of the spiritual armor and the spiritual shielding and the spiritual doorway in which not only God manifests within, but then flows outwardly. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. For what purpose? So that you can take your stand. Don't you ever run from the devil. Don't you ever run, Christian. Don't you ever be some soldier that runs from the front of the line and retreats as the enemy is coming after you. Get up. Quit doing that. Repent of that. Never run. Never. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. If you don't, who will? Paul Bilheimer, in his book, Destined for the Throne, said it very clearly there. Great book, by the way. Read it sometime. Destined for the Throne, Paul Bilheimer. That the church, the body of Christ, and the world around us is the only thing that contests Satan's total rule of the earth. So if you're running away from the devil, you have nothing. You have nothing. Fear has defeated you. You have literally thrown the word of God off to the left and right, and you've grieved the Spirit of God, you've quenched the fire of the Lord, and you don't have the mighty power of God manifesting through you, making you stronger and stronger and bolder and bolder. But God tells you this, the Holy Spirit says this to every Christian. I don't care how weak you are, I don't care where you're at, I don't care if you're 6 months old or 60 years old in Christ, the word of God is the same. Take your stand. Get up. Quit it. Get up. Take your stand against the devil's schemes, his methods, his attacks. And you can't take that stand against the devil's schemes, you know what? Unless you know those schemes. Hint, the first thing we talked about, awareness. when Paul can say, we are not unaware of his schemes? So Christian, don't be unaware of the schemes. Spiritual leaders of classes and teachers and youth pastors and so forth, if you are unaware of his schemes, let me tell you something very clearly. You are an ignorant spiritual leader. What I mean by that is you are completely unaware. You're not going to be as effective as you can be with the people around you and leading them and helping them and guarding them too. Shepherds cannot guard well if you're unaware of Satan's schemes. If the wolf comes to attack the sheep and you have no idea when he comes, where he's around, he's going to keep eating your sheep up left and right. Pastors, become preemptors. Get on the cutting edge of spiritual warfare and evangelism, and you will find the mighty power of God operating in your life. So, we're to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The Holy Spirit commands us once and for all, in the imperative, in the Greek, put on the full armor of God, so that, for the purpose that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, see that word against? See that word against? You're going to see that used probably 6-7 times in this chapter. We're not dealing with human people. You know what? It's not about, we're not battling human and other individuals. We're talking about directly the satanic presence and power and workings, schemes and attacks. That's what we're talking about now. So put on his full armor, the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against Christians. You stand for humanity in the sense of you want to see them come to Christ. God sent his Son to the world to save the world. Listen, not to condemn the world, 1 John 3:17. Not to condemn the world. We're to be out there reconciling the world. I mean, listen, if sinners are lost, they're lost. They're going to act like that. We're not out there, you know, you can't just change a sinner by telling them to quit, you know, change their morality. That's the only thing you're going to do. No, change comes from the inside, the power of being born again in the Spirit of Christ, the transformation of an incredible, awesome, salvation that comes from the welding of Christ's power and victory at the cross. The blood of Jesus speaks powerful and forgiveness and freedom. But the new nature is to come in and give us a new thing. Read about the new nature. Listen, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 down. There's a great transformation. But now as a believer, with the enemy around not wanting the church to do anything, listen, if he can keep you and the church from witnessing and praying and doing those kind of things and distract you only into your own little nurturing corners, and the church is not this thing that we see in the book of Acts chapter 4, 5, and 6, and 7, and 8, listen, evaluate your church, especially you. Don't judge your church, but let the Word of God, chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in the book of Acts, you know, really speak to you whether you are living out the great, powerful gospel and kingdom in the context of the church and whether your church is. So we're to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Take a look what it says next, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against humans. Our struggle is not against, see that word, our struggle, our warfare, it's a military term. Our battling, our fighting, our struggle, the things that come against us in the church, that struggle, that battle, that warfare, it's not against flesh and blood. Even though Satan can use people some way in bizarre and uncanny ways, you can detect Satan using people against you if you detect that it's the same methods he uses independently. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against, now notice the structure here, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the supernatural forces or the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now some people say, well, you know, we battle only the, you know, demons here on the ground, but not those things in the air. Doesn't say that right here. Doesn't say that at all. This is what it says. Verse 12, our struggle, our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against, see the word against? Against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All of that affects you, all of that affects the church, all of that affects the world, and all of that comes against you, and you are to have the armor of God on so that you can take your stand against all of that. Your authority in Christ against all of that. All of it. And it's very important you realize this. Yes, you can pray against territorial presence and so forth if you really know. spiritual authority, you can't just shoot in the air and not, if again, against known satanic presence in a person's life, coming against a church, assignments in an area, you know, in a house where rituals have been done, whatever. Use the authority of the Lord. But you need to go in with the armor of God on. You need to go in the armor, because you know what? If you have the armor of God on, listen, you are aware. You are alert. And the mighty power of God is emanating through your life, emanating through the whole construct of your being, body, soul, spirit, your mind, your conscience, all the faculties of your brain, everything. Your spiritual antennas are there for spiritual discernment. The Holy Spirit is in you. You're just lit up. You're on fire for the Lord when you have the whole armor of God on. Listen, you can't be filled with the Spirit and not have the armor of God on, and you can't have the armor of God on without being filled with the Spirit of God. It goes hand in hand. Because your surrender to the Lord and your obedience to the Lord, and this is part of obedience. As a Christian, you're commanded to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Take your place, Christian. Don't let everybody else do this. Pastors, don't say, well, we'll let that group down the road take care of these problems. It's baloney. Take the whole of the Word of God and put it into practice. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Listen to what the Scripture is telling us. That's the biblical world. That's the real world. The real world all around us, our presence, the power of demons, some are lesser in power. They all, what we've learned in deliverance, all of them have names. All of them have functions. They have assignments given. There's a hierarchy per se, that there are more powerful demons that may order other demons. When one demon gets into a person's life, they want to bring others to, you know, to hold the ground. You know, it's like military strategy. You know, you don't send one soldier into an enemy's city where an enemy has taken over a city to liberate that city. You don't send one soldier in and to maintain the city. One soldier gets in and they want 100 soldiers. They want all the equipment and they want everything in to take the city and hold the city and keep the city liberated. So that's true, too, concerning us when it comes to the powers, exercising your authority against them. Your struggle, your warfare is not against flesh and blood, not against humans. Even when Jesus rebuked Peter, he didn't rebuke Peter directly. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He knew that Satan was piggybacking Peter, influencing Peter's thoughts, coming through his thoughts so that Peter would speak to Jesus and distract him and take him somewhere else. And Jesus knew it was coming from the enemy. He was aware of the method, aware of the piggybacking tactic, aware that he would come through that fleshliness, unguarded fleshliness, and Satan rebuked Satan for trying to use Peter. So I always say, sometimes with individuals, I pray over their heads. I want to spiritually attack not the human being, but the demonic work that may be coming through them, influencing them, coming through an area, praying against the demonic presence. That's vital. Verse 13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and it will, it came in Job's life, came in David's life, came in the disciples' life. The day of evil is when Satan comes and mounts an attack against you. Not just one thing. He'll hit you up in 5, 6, 7, 8 different ways over a period of a week or two. He'll hit you up again and again and again so that, you know, everything you're going through is just, you know, tearing you up and whatever. So you need to stand up instead of curling up, you know, down. You need to stand up and fight him in every area. You'll get over the attack quicker. You know, if the enemy attacks you, man, you've got to get up and attack back. You're to take your stand against the devil's schemes, works, and so forth. So how can you do that? Put on the full armor of God. There again, the command to put it on, leave it on. So that when that day of evil comes, and it does, every Christian will have oppression, every Christian will have attack in their lives. Look what it says. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand your ground, meaning that you're not going to lose any ground. And after you have done everything to stand, pray, resist the enemy, speak in authority against the enemy's attacks, you know, worship the Lord, be strong. Don't just be a survivalist, you know, hiding in a castle. You know, go forward, take your stand, and then go forward, win souls, encourage Christians, pray for the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the prisoners,
Verse 14. Stand firm then. I like what it says in the book of Corinthians, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. You know, be men of courage. Be immovable. Come to the point in your spiritual life, in your obedience to Christ and the manifesting power of God in your life, you will come to the point where you can stand firm. You can stand immovable. You can stand, you know, courageous in the Lord. Oh, Christians, we need that. We need courageous believers. Courageous believers. Wherever you're living, be courageous in the Lord. Stand firm then. And then it goes over the listing. You know, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert. There it is again. Be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. That's part of the armor of God there, by the way. So let me just touch on real quick. Truth. How do you do this? Again, on each one of these aspects, you appropriate by faith. You just, listen, I accept all of the truth of God, the aletheia, the truth, the word of God, accepting all the truth, putting, listen, To stand up and say, I believe all the truth, but not know it, you're not really putting it into practice. You're not really appropriating it. You really only appropriate the truth as you learn of it and as you embrace it in faith and as you put it into practice. When you appropriate, receive by faith, true faith, you will then put it into practice. Jesus is called, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible, the Word of God, is called the Word of Truth. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says in John 12 through 14, actually 12 through 16, says he's called the Spirit of Truth. He's dwelling in you. In the Psalms, God says he desires truth in the inward parts. So listen, Christian, if you don't want to have holes in your life, if you don't want to have any room for Satan to get in, you can't be living any lies. You can't be living any denial and deception. You cannot be a liar and have this piece of armor on. You cannot reject some scripture somewhere and have the armor on. You must, you know, appropriate all the truth of scripture and put all that truth into practice. And by appropriating and then putting it into practice, that mighty power of God will flow through. Now, let me give you an image. When I'm washing the car sometimes with a hose, sometimes it gets kinked. And though the water pressure is on and all the water is back there in the first part of the hose, when the hose gets kinked, it barely comes through the outward part. And I really can't have, you know, when it's just dribbling out, you can't wash your car. You can't, you know, wash the soap off. So you have to go over and unkink. You have to open up the hose, per se, and let that torrent, that flood of water flood through. Dwelling in you, Christian, rivers of living water. Jesus said it in John 7, Holy Spirit power, the reservoirs of the presence and the power and the authority and all of the effect of the victories of Christ is dwelling within you. When you're kinked up by disobedience to the Word of God, or you don't want to believe it, or you don't want to put it into practice, then you got a kink. And barely will things come through. But when you open that hose, when you open your life in obedience to Jesus and all of the truth, and you know that you accept the truth and you're putting all the truth you know into practice, then it's like opening that hose, and listen, mighty power of God flows through obedience to the truth. That's how you feel, and those around you may see, and the demonic around you may know that you have this mighty, powerful expression of the power of God flowing through your life. So accepting all the truth, putting the truth into practice. Secondly, righteousness. Now notice the order of this. You can't live righteous without knowing the truth. You cannot live the righteousness that God tells you to do without knowing the truth. So you got to know the truth in order to put things into practice, in order to live righteous lives. This is about obedience to the Lord. You know, if you have unrighteous things in your life, you know right now, I'm going to tell you, repent of them. Don't be stupid any longer. You might not like that word stupid, but in Proverbs, I think 12 verse 1, anybody who's not does not listen to correction is stupid. This means that we're morally inept. We're just really ruining our own lives. So listen, repent of any unrighteous stuff in your life or any sin issues. You know, first of all, we appropriate the righteousness of Christ. You know, we read about this, you know, in the book of Corinthians. We read about it in Romans chapter 4 and 5. that that we, when we receive Christ, we are given his righteousness. So I don't have any righteousness of my own, per se, in view of God, but I accept Christ and his righteousness, and his righteousness is applied to me, but his nature, you know, that's been put inside of me also demands. Look at Romans 6. There's an obligation now to walk in obedience to the Lord, to walk in the Spirit, and to live out the righteousness of God. So I accept the righteousness of Christ and all the cleansing and all of that freedom from sin and his righteousness in me, his sinless life in me. And then when I step out in righteousness, guess what? Once again, I've opened the hose, and I'll manifest the mighty power of God through my obedient walking into righteousness. How do you do that? Well, walk in the Spirit. Walk in obedience to the Word of God. Proverbs, I think it's 3:33 says this, or 33:3 says this, that he blesses the home of the righteous. His blessing will be on you. Living in obedience to the Word of God is living things out righteously, doing things righteously. You don't steal, you don't cheat, you don't rob people, you don't cuss people out, you don't punch people in the face, you know? Live righteous. You know, we're to speak the truth, we're to live the truth, but we're also then in righteousness, you know, to do righteous things. You know, give somebody clothing, that's righteous. You know, share Jesus Christ, that's even righteous. Listen, you know what Proverbs 28:1 says? The righteous are as bold as a lion and the wicked flee. So we accept the righteousness of Christ, put into practice all righteousness. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 30, listen, that Satan has no hold on him. Jesus didn't fall into any sin. Do you have any known sin in your life? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness, all uncleanness. He'll cleanse us. He's called in chapter 1 and chapter 2 specifically. He's, you know, 1 John 2 says what? I write to you, believers. It's in the aorist subjunctive. It means so that you won't even sin one sin, because you're free. But if you do fall into a sin, you know, we have an advocate with the Father. We have someone who speaks to the Father in our defense. His Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And we can be forgiven. So confess those sins. That means also repent. Read also Proverbs 28:13. If we conceal our sins, we won't prosper. But if we confess them and forsake them, we're going to find mercy from the Lord. So listen, you want the Holy Spirit power? You want the mighty power of God to come through you, to literally be a spiritual emanating shield through your life? Then walk, appropriate, and accept the righteousness of God in Christ. And then live out living righteous. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Let me go to the third one now, and this is one some folks really misunderstand too sometimes. We simply read this, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, if you have shoes on that are so tight, so utterly tight, you're going to have a problem walking. If you have shoes on that are so big, you ever, when you were a kid, try to put your daddy's shoes on, walk up the stairs? I did that once, and I mean, because they're so big, they're just going to flop off. And listen, this is a tremendous imagery that we're given here, that a soldier, I mean, having your little boots on or whatever they used in that day and time to really have, that's what a football player has to have. You cannot have loose shoes. Untied shoes being a hiker. I know that. I do mountain jogging. I take the mountain biker trail and I jog it and I walk it. And if my boots in the wintertime or my shoes in the summertime, if it's untied and they're going to be loose, I can turn my ankle to the right or left. I can easily fall, trip, hurt myself. So listen, with your feet fitted correctly and rightly, listen, with the readiness, the preparedness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now listen to this. Romans chapter 5 says that we now have peace with God. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we've been justified, and we have peace with God. Philippians 3 tells us that instead of having anxious things, to put that to the Lord, give it up in prayer and with requests and thanksgiving, and the peace of God, a supernatural working and presence, will transcend your mind. It will guard your heart and mind. Your understanding will have a Holy Spirit presence, a peace of God, the irene, the cessation of hostilities in this free-flowing peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He says, I give to you not as the world gives, but as I give, real peace This is the King who will bring ultimate peace. But now listen, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Now this is all about, listen, not only knowing that peace. When you know Jesus Christ, you're at peace with God. When you know Jesus Christ and you're walking in the truth and you're walking in righteousness, you know, as you've accepted the truth and accepted righteousness, you're walking in it, you know, you have peace with God, you know, flowing in you. You know you do. You have peace with God in Christ. Living in the Word of God, you know, accelerates that peace to where the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Because peace keeps you, gives you the ability to be aware and alert. If your mind's filled with, you know, anxiety and anxious thoughts and worries and whatever else, you're not going to be at peace. Your head's going to be clogged. You know, Paul does it this way, and I always use this verse, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual thing, Christian. It's a powerful thing. And with your feet fitted with the readiness. Now listen, when you're walking in peace, when you know that you have peace with God in Christ, and you've cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you, and you're walking with that, you know, Holy Spirit peace in your life, then you are ready. You're ready to pray. You're ready to be alert. You're ready to witness. You have a readiness on a daily basis. You know, you have your ability to take the most of every opportunity, as it says in Ephesians 5, to redeem the time. So be ready, you know, and how do you do that? Be at peace with God. Know that you're at peace with God, and be walking in that peace, and you'll have a spiritual sense that you're ready to the left of you, to the right of you, of the enemy. You know, the enemy brings an agitation. The enemy brings confusion and disorder. You walk in peace in the midst of all of that. God wants you to walk in peace. I've got to move along here. Let's move along to the next one, the shield of faith. Lift up the shield of faith so that you can extinguish Satan's. What are those arrows? You know those arrows are? You know, don't believe the word. Don't go to church. You know, God, I'm going to get you. Satan wants to send all these fearful things. Right now, just simply pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for everybody listening and myself. Are there any arrows that have come against us from the enemy? Help me to identify the lies and exchange them for truth. Help me to lift up the shield of faith in Christ, in the Word of God, so that none of those arrows of the enemy, none of those lies of the enemy, none of those attacks of the enemy can have any hold on me, can come into me with any of its poison. Because if he could just simply suggest a thought like he did to Eve, did God say, just a doubt, and to get you off the Word of God, you know, let's repent of doubting. Let's believe God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So that's what we're to lift up the shield of faith. You'll extinguish faith in Christ, faith in the Word of God, and you'll extinguish the attacks. You'll be able to identify and put down the attacks, the lies that Satan is sending through people, through circumstances, or directly spiritually, those involuntary thoughts, involuntary feelings. I feel like God doesn't love me. I feel like God's not here. That's a lie. Satan's sending lies. So you take the Word of God. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. I'll be with you always to the end of the age. You know, you take the Word of God and you just stand. You take your stand so that you can express that truth in mighty power through your life as you lift up the shield of faith. Believe God. Stand in faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, that we are shielded by God's power through faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. Faith in the Word of God. Exchange those arrows. How do you do that? Lift up faith in Christ and the Word of God. Utter those words of Christ. Utter the words of God and put down the work of the enemy. Put it down, Christian, and live for the Lord. The next one, very clearly, the helmet of salvation, all the aspects of your salvation. The one after that, the word, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, using that. Word of God against the devil's attacks. Praying in the Spirit, in the realm, in the power, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Praying, acknowledge the Spirit's presence and pray with his guidance and empowerment. The Greek, in the spirit of the Spirit, the power and the blessing of the Spirit, so that your prayers. Now let me just mention these three because we're coming down to the close. We're already into this 80 minutes, and you may have to take this and go over it again, and we're coming down to the very end of everything here. Take the helmet of salvation. That is the assurance of salvation. I am forgiven. I have been set free. Read about your salvation in the Word of God. You know Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory, the glorious salvation you have. You know what 1 John chapter 5, it says, God says to the Christians, you know, I write this to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you know that. Gnosko, the Greek word there, used about 38 times in that little book of 1 John. That you experientially know it in your life. Know the salvation, the joy of the Lord. Salvation. Christ in you, forgiven, freed, the gift of eternal life inside of you. Confidence about that. The Lord shall be your confidence and keep your foot from being snared. Proverbs chapter 3. So listen, take the helmet of salvation, the joy of salvation, the wonder of salvation, the awe of salvation, moves you to worship, moves you to take up your cross and follow Christ. Salvation is all about Jesus, what he's done for you. Just simply, as you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. If perchance there's somebody out there listening to this that's not even saved, maybe you say, well, I've gone to church, I've gone here, I'm this, I'm that, whatever. Listen, are you saved? Is Christ inside of you? Are you born of the Spirit of God? If not, right now, the Bible says, whosoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means Jesus Christ will come into your life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, the gift of freedom from sin, breaking Satan's chains, giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and a new birth in your life. So turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him, ask him to come into your life. If you've done that, there he is. He's alive, Christian. He's dwelling in you. Jesus said in John's Gospel 17 that he's talking to the Father. He says, Father, that I myself may be in them. Oh, Christian, right this very moment, Jesus Christ is in you, dwelling in you, living in you, and all of the benefits of salvation are in you. Don't forget his benefits, like Psalm 103 says. The helmet of salvation, assurance, clear, bold, confident, living, joyful in Christ, in Jesus, and all that he offers you and all that he has for you. Grow up in that salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. That's what the Scripture says. That's what the Scripture says. So I want to take you right now to the sword of the Spirit. Not a physical sword. But the actual Word of God. It is a sword. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God in your life. You could be in prayer right now. You could be going through this study, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brings to mind another verse of Scripture, another verse of Scripture. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would remind us of everything he taught us. If you get the Word of God in you, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be a memorizer. Memorize the Word of God. Because if you bank it in your life and have it in your life, using it in your life, the Holy Spirit can bring it back to you in your witnessing, in your personal life, in leading and guiding and comforting you, in assuring you, in building. It's called the Word of Faith, the Word of Life, the Word of Grace. Romans chapter 10, it's the Word of Faith. It empowers your faith. It enables your faith. So take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is clear. The greatest example of this is right there with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Satan directly comes to him. He doesn't pull out a physical sword. In every case, in every single scheming attack that Satan brings in his audacity against the Son of God, in those 40 days, Satan brings attack after attack after attack. You know how Jesus holds the line? He stands firm by quoting the Word of God, holding to and quoting the Word of God straight to the devil. Now, the devil can also quote the Word of God, but he'll quote it to mislead you. He'll quote it to twist it. That's how a cult, that's how that Book of Miracles, the Course in Miracles, you know, that's why so much of the New Age stuff, every cult has biblical, you know, whether you go to the Mormons, whether you go to Jehovah's Witness, whether you go to the Moonies, you're going to find them using scriptures here and there, but they're not going to be able to use them consistently and systematically because they're going to be off base. They're going to twist the scriptures. Satan loves to do that to deceive people. The best thing I can tell you to do in all of scripture reading is read it again and again and again. Know it systematically. Know it well so that you could reference this verse with that verse and that verse. One author behind the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God is in you. And listen, if you have the armor of God on, you are clothed and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The mighty power of God will come through you. And listen, the Word of God will be at the tip of your tongue, ready to share with a non-believer to get saved. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the word of God, to share the gospel with them. The word of God will be there to counter the lies Satan brings, you know, through somebody coming to attack you with words and things like that, coming to you to tell you, man, say, you know, God isn't alive, or, you know, like Nietzsche, God is dead, signed at Nietzsche. Well, somebody had a t-shirt on, somebody shared with me this, where on the back of the t-shirt it said this: Nietzsche is dead, signed God. The Word of God is the bottom line. The Word of God is the final answer, you know, for the believer. It's the foundation. That's why He gave us so much of it, man. It's the living words. You know, you read about it in Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active. It is powerful. It's animated with the presence of God. And when you put it into practice, you become strong and it becomes alive in you. It says this in Thessalonians. You can read it there too, 1 Thessalonians, that you've accepted the Word of God as it actually is. Not as the Word of men, but as it actually is. The Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Use it against the devil's lies. Use it against cultic. Use it against the attacks that come. The Holy Spirit will give you that word in the midst of attack. So as you're praying and seeking the Lord in the middle of oppression and attack, the Holy Spirit can bring you the Word of God to give you something to stand on, to speak out against Satan. I've quoted the Word of God against oppression and attack from the enemy, and it silences the enemy as we take hold. Well, that's not where it's supposed to end. That's not the end of the armor of God. Verse 18 is really the end. And pray in the Spirit. In the Greek, locative, meaning the locative of spear. Pray in the spear of the Spirit on all occasions. See the word all going all the way through here. Look what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Put on the armor of God, appropriate, and then unleash. That means receive and then release. That means accept by faith and then step out in obedience in all these areas. Put them all into practice. Accept the truth, put it into practice. Accept the righteousness of Christ, put His righteousness of the Word into practice. Accept the peace that comes from God in Christ. And be ready. Be absolutely ready for everything around you. Be alert. Be prepared. Be a witness. Be ready to witness on the left. Battle the enemy on the right. Deal with the enemy here and there. Be ready. Be prepared. Lift up faith completely in Christ, in the Word of God, actively. And you will literally banish those flaming arrows. Hold on and accept all the things it says about your salvation and walk in all the truths and confidences and joy and blessings of salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, know it well, speak it out against the enemy. And then now verse 18, pray in the Spirit. Man, when I am praying, I'm counting on the Holy Spirit to give me more ammunition. Give me another verse of Scripture. Make me aware of where the enemy's at. Show me how to pray for somebody. You know, the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, specific things. And with every kind, listen, and with all kinds of personal requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Always keep on praying. Now that is a vital thing for all of us, to always keep on praying. Christian, let me ask you something. When it tells us this in Thessalonians 2, to pray without ceasing, listen, when you have the armor of God on, you're going to be having this portion in your life to where you can do this. You can be praying against the enemy. You can be praying for souls. Man, we're running out of time here right now, and I know we've gone maybe an hour and a half on this teaching. You might have to break it down. But I want to encourage you. Fight! Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against what the enemy is doing over your life, over the life of your family, your church, society. Satan is ramping up everything according to biblical prophecy. Christian, rise up, you know, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand powerfully in the Lord.
Pray with the aid of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. Be bold in the Lord. Awareness, alert, authority, armor, action.